Future-Proof Extra from News Talk.
Now, evolution is one of, if not the key ingredient to life on this planet surviving. Our ability to adapt and change make us and the animals and plants we share this planet with so successful. But we don't all evolve at the same rate, and some of us don't seem to evolve very much at all. So how is it that the likes of crocodiles are so successful? Well, Max Stockdale is a paleontologist at the Bristol University. He joins me now. Max, welcome to the program. How old are crocodiles, as far as we know?
That depends a little bit on what your definition of what a crocodile is. So if you wanted to define crocodiles as everything that has evolved from the common ancestor of all crocodiles, then the first crocodile appears somewhere in the Cretaceous period. So it's in the latter half of the age of the dinosaurs. So we're already talking about a group that is very, very old. But actually, if you look into the fossil record, you can start finding animals that are extremely familiar looking and look extremely similar to a modern crocodile that go back even further. So there's a particular species that we call Calsoiosuchus, which is about 206 million years old, which goes back to the early Jurassic period. And that's sort of in the first half of the age of the dinosaurs. But actually, there are creatures which look much less familiar. They don't look particularly similar to modern crocodiles, but they have all the features that we would look for that identify them as crocodiles. Animals, these are sort of fleet-footed, small-bodied animals that have looked a bit like greyhounds that would have lived out of the water, fully terrestrial creatures. And they go back even further, back into the Triassic period, which is about 235 million years ago.
I'm sorry. This is one of the problems I have with how we name things and how we classify species. How on earth is a ground-walking, greyhound-like crocodile like a crocodile at all?
Well, it comes down to some very subtle features that we find in their skeletons. So if you look at the broader context of the group of reptiles to which crocodiles belong, they belong to a larger family called the archosaurs. And the archosaurs includes dinosaurs and birds, as well as crocodiles. But the archosaurs have this specific feature, which is the anatomy of their hand, their forelimb. That they have a particular sort of hinge-like wrist joint. And all archosaurs have that in common. But the dinosaurs, they evolved down a particular pathway, and they evolved a very specific hip anatomy. So a crocodile is kind of an animal which has this archosaur feature, this funny wrist joint, but they do not have the dinosaur feature, which is this adapted hip joint. But the crocodiles do have other specific features that are peculiar to them, which identify them as crocodiles. And we're talking about things that are as subtle as the presence or absence of a specific bone in their hand or a particular groove in the bone in their elbow, for example.
I presume the reason why we classify animals in that way, looking at the bones, is because that's all that's left when we do archaeology and look at these, you know, these fossils. I presume that's why we do it, rather than what would make the most sense to me, and I imagine people who aren't scientists, which is classify the creatures that look similar as the same sort of a species.
That's very true. The fossil record is it's a rather cruel thing to have to work with, because it's very fragmentary and there's not really a lot left. One of the things we have to be careful with as biologists is that when we look at things, there's this concept of homology, and there are certain structures which can appear in multiple taxa. For example, you could have the wing of a bat and the wing of a bird. They both serve the same function. They have characteristics which are similar between the two of them, but they haven't arisen from a winged ancestor. The bats have evolved from a small mouse-like mammal, of course, and birds evolved from dinosaurs, neither of which could fly. But they've converged upon a similar sort of structure to serve a similar function. So sort of grouping animals by the way they look is a rather risky strategy for classifying things. But thanks to some of the advances in modern technology, these days we're actually able to perform really sophisticated evolutionary analyses using DNA. And that's one of the things that makes crocodiles exciting to work with, because they're one of the few clades that is so ancient and goes back to the age of the dinosaurs but they've actually got living representatives, so we can go out and collect tissue samples and use their DNA to work out the evolutionary relationships.
How many different species of crocodiles are there? I mean, this isn't a body shape that has evolved many different times in different places, right?
No, not so far as we know. At least not among reptiles. If you go back into the very distant past, there are a few amphibian groups which have evolved body plans which are sort of crudely similar to crocodiles. But among the reptiles, the crocodiles do seem to have formed a very novel niche for themselves.
And so how many species of crocodiles are there now? You'd imagine not a lot then.
No, there's not. And that's one of the oddities about them, that there are sort of 24, 25 different species. There's a bit of debate about some of them, whether they represent one species or two, depending on where they live.
25 species from 200 million years ago. You'd imagine that there must be hundreds, if not thousands. I mean, birds would be, you know, if we think about how many bird species have evolved through that, there must be... There must be thousands different species of birds that have evolved in the same time as this 25 species of crocodiles, right?
Yes. You've hit on one of the things that's really peculiar about crocodiles, that they've been around for such an incredibly long time, and yet there's only about, like I say, 24, 25 odd species of them, whereas the birds have achieved a diversity of over 10,000 species. And the lizards have also evolved a huge diversity of forms in a similar amount of time.
Yeah.
So it sort of raises the question of why are the crocodiles sort of not performing in terms of diversity in the same way that groups of a similar antiquity are doing?
So I'm going to, before we hear the answer to why that might be, you imagine that you don't evolve unless you need to. So presumably if... you have all the food you need, all the ability to produce children that you need, and no enormous change in weather or climate, as you find around those middle countries, there's no need to evolve. Is that what's happened?
It seems to be, yes. The finding from our study is that crocodiles seem to have gone into what's called a state of punctuated equilibrium, where there is a long periods of very little change. And then if the environment changes, that sort of stimulates and motivates them to evolve in whatever way is required. But it seems that their body plan is kind of adaptable and sort of broad spectrum enough that they're able to apply themselves to the majority of the ecological situations that they find themselves in, at least among the modern forms. There are fossil forms which are much more specialized. And that specialization might be one of the reasons why they've become extinct.
Huh. Well, you're talking about sort of weirder looking crocodiles from the fossil record, like what?
Yes, exactly. So there's a much wider variation of crocodile forms in the fossil record than we see today. In particular, I mean, the most obvious one is that some fossil crocodiles got very much bigger. There are types of crocodile from the age of the dinosaurs which are as big as dinosaurs themselves, absolutely gigantic creatures that would have been able to tackle a dinosaur.
Whoa, like how big?
Big, very large. We're talking animals that are sort of like longer than a bus, weighed, you know, 4 or 5 tons, and would have been quite fearsome, ferocious predators in life. But that's not the only variation. We also see... a variation in body form and crocodiles that are really quite unfamiliar to modern eyes. There is a clade of crocodiles known as Thalassosuchians, and these are sort of superficially fish-like crocodiles with flippers, and they would have spent the majority of their lives swimming in the open ocean. And at the other end of the spectrum, there are these sort of superficially mammal-like crocodiles with sort of a burrowing habit. You'd sort of think of them as being a bit like a badger. with short snouts living in burrows, and some of them may even have been herbivorous. So we're talking
wow.
about animals that are, yes, it's bizarre.
So a plant-eating burrowing crocodile once lived.
Exactly, yes. Until surprisingly recently, actually, the Notosuchians, these mammal-like burrowing crocodiles, their fossils have been found from the Jurassic period, but they seem to have survived until long after the dinosaurs died out. So they seem to have been quite successful.
This punctuated equilibrium thing, is it sort of like a fits and spurts approach to evolution?
Yes, exactly. That's a very good way of putting it. It's long periods of boredom and inactivity, punctuated and interrupted by these very short episodes of very rapid change.
Right. And so then that is probably, presumably, due to some sort of environmental pressure, enormous change in temperature or climate or something like that, presumably?
Yeah, it seems to be. We're seeing changes in rates of evolution in crocodiles that seem to be associated with things like changes in the Earth's climate, shift in temperature, and also with extinction events like the meteorite, which hit the Earth and destroyed the dinosaurs. It does seem to cause these little spurts, these little hiccups in crocodile evolution. And for the rest of the time, they just sort of settle down and don't change very much at all.
Are there many species like crocodiles that haven't changed in millions of years in the same way?
That's a good question. My own opinion is that it's a mode of evolution that affects most organisms to some extent. And it's just a question of degree. There's certainly other groups which have shown a similar lack of change to the crocodiles. The one that immediately springs to mind is the turtles, because they are rather similar, that they've gone this very long period of time without changing very much. Although, like I say, I think it's probably very likely that this punctuated model does apply to most organisms. It's just that there is other modes of evolution which kind of overwrite the signal and make it harder to detect.
So we used to think, from at least this, my understanding of evolution from school, was that it happened slowly and relatively steadily over time, that these whatever species were in question had children, and they adapted slowly over many generations to different things that affected them, such as, you know, availability of food or predators or a change in environment. Is it possible that this punctuated equilibrium that you're talking about, this sort of fits and spurts evolution, is actually much more common than we think?
That's a very good question. It's a matter of great debate. My own personal view is that crocodiles and animals that are in a similar situation, like the turtles, they are more susceptible to this sort of punctuated model because of elements of their physiology. So we've got a group of animals here that are what we call ectothermic. They're not able to control their body temperature, and that means they're going to be more sensitive to changes in the climate than animals like birds and mammals and perhaps even dinosaurs that are able to control their body temperature. So in those animals that can control their body temperature more effectively, it's possible that evolution is dictated less by environmental changes and more by what we call intrinsic factors. So these are things like the arms race between predators and prey. We have a species of antelope, say, that evolves to run fast to escape its predator, and then the predator evolves to run even faster to catch it. That causes an escalation of speed, and that's how we end up with gazelles and cheetahs, which can run incredibly fast, trying to outrun one another.
Well, really interesting. Max Stockdale from the School of Geographical Sciences at Bristol University, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me.